And just like that, we are back. Thanks so much for joining us. Twins and A's postponed today. And I don't know about you, Josh, but I can't remember them doing the split doubleheader like they're going to do on Sunday, where they've got, you know, the regular 1 o'clock game, then they're going to clear the ballpark and come back and do a Sunday night tilt. Now, as you heard a moment ago, Gino mentioned that neither team plays on Monday, so the A's can stay in later. They're flying on a charter, and they can leave town whenever they want. But typically on a Sunday, if you get rained out on a Saturday, you would just do a straight doubleheader. But in this case, they're going to split it up. So Twins baseball tomorrow, it's going to be a hot one. We'll have Inside Twins at noon, as Gino mentioned a moment ago. Chris Atterbury, Derek Falvey at noon. Lineup card 12:30, your first pitch 1:10 as scheduled. Then they'll play that ball game and then come back 6 o'clock pregame and a 6:40 first pitch. So we'll get a little Sunday night baseball at Target Field. But once again, rain threatening. We'll get you up to date on the radar. And right now, it's not bad here in the cities. Just some light rain, but there is very, very heavy rain moving up the Minnesota River from Mankato. So that's the story. But back to tomorrow, a rare Sunday split doubleheader.
Yeah, that'll be something. Typically, the way we do it here is back-to-back. I've worked a couple back-to-backs here on Saturdays, and
yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, it's quite a lot because, pulling the curtain back a little bit, the guys over at the field take it from pretty much the pregame up until the postgame finishes. So yours truly here jotting down notes, keep track of it. Can't, unfortunately, watch the game, but you can still listen to it on the airwaves where that's a long time. I think the split series is almost a little bit easier, but it's the awkward middle part that you got to find time to fill and whatnot. But I'm trying to think of when the last time they did.
A split doubleheader has been scheduled on, say, a Saturday.
Yeah.
If you had a game early in the year due to cold weather or snow or whatever. Yeah. They'll do a split doubleheader on a Saturday where they'll go, say, at noon and at 6. That's typical because you have the ticket buyers from the postponed game. You have the ticket buyers for the scheduled Saturday night game. You get it. But, now they're going to do the split on a Sunday at Target Field. So that is the very latest. If you're just tuning in, looking for the lineup card, getting ready for the ball game, the game has been postponed due to rain. Lineup card got started as scheduled at 12:30 today, but we will not have a ball game at Target Field today due to the weather. And once again, speaking of the weather, we should probably run down the forecast and give people an idea of what we're dealing with on this Saturday. Showers with thunderstorms possible after 4. And I think that's the big reason they didn't wait, is because we're supposed to see even more rain and then the threat of thunderstorms and lightning later in the day. And that threat really doesn't move in until around 4. High today, 71. Our chance of rain, 90%. And then tonight, showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 1 a.m. at a low near 65. And then the winds will crank up out of the southeast at 10 to 15 with gusts as high as 25 miles an hour. Now, Sunday, Father's Day, sunny and a high near 91. Heat index values as high as 100 tomorrow. And then overnight Sunday into Monday, showers and thunderstorms likely. And then there is a chance of showers and thunderstorms on Monday as well at Target Field. And as you heard Chris mention, 4 state high school championship games scheduled at Target Field on Monday. And the weather is unsettled at best. Target Field not available on Tuesday. The Twins are home with the Rays coming to town Tuesday, Wednesday, and a Thursday matinee. So they've got to try and get those high school games in on Monday, those championship games, or otherwise they've got to find another alternative because Target Field not available Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. So wet June weather. I think we got spoiled a year ago with how dry it was in these parts. But this is a typical June. And you think about over the years and all the grad parties and all the graduation ceremonies, dodging raindrops and showers and thunderstorms. We're kind of right back at it this year in the upper Midwest with showers and thunderstorms threatening, certainly today. And I think another reason they did the split, Josh, is because tomorrow's Father's Day.
Yep.
Huge day at the ballpark. So you've got that crowd coming in, and then you've got what figured to be a good crowd on a Saturday coming in for the ball game today. So they're going to try and accommodate everyone on Father's Day at Target Field with the split doubleheader on Sunday. But Mother Nature not cooperating.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I didn't really catch. I know Gino talked about it a little bit. Isn't there also there's and maybe even you did too. I was trying to figure out the plan going forward as we are jumping back into the fire here. But isn't there high school baseball still going on? Still planned at Target Field?
No, they wrapped up all the games
okay.
except the championship games on Friday. So what they did is they had quarterfinals on Thursday, and then they had championship semifinals in all four classes on Friday. Plus, they played the third place game and the consolation round games on Friday. So everybody's done except for the championship games. And we can run down some of those scores in a moment and kind of recap everyone on what happened on Friday. Some wild games around the state of Minnesota, including one for the books at Target Field. Hidden ball trick came into play in one of the games on Friday at CHS Field in Class 4A. But if you are indeed wondering, those four high school championship games will be played at Target Field on Monday. And the 1A game starts at 10 a.m., and here's a rundown of those games. Once again, Twins hosting at Target Field. The 1A championship game, Parker's Prairie and Springfield. And then at 1, Foley and Rockford. At 4:30, Totino Grace and Matamidi. And then the big schools, Moundsview and Eastridge, playing the 4A championship game, scheduled at 7:30. But right now, the forecast, very unsettled. So I have a feeling we're going to be dodging raindrops for those games Monday at Target Field. But back to Friday in a wild day. And once again, all the championship semifinals were played and all the third place games were played. And over at CHS Field, the site of 4A, a couple of games for the books. And in that, where you not only had Moundsview beat Wayzata. Wayzata was the number one seed. They were unbeaten. Wayzata late in the ballgame, sixth inning, they were down 3-2. They had runners at the corners. And Moundsview pulled off a successful hidden ball trick to maintain the lead. Wayzata would eventually tie it up, and then Moundsview would pull out the 5-4 win in eight innings. But the old hidden ball trick paid dividends. Wayzata got a tying run in the seventh. Moundsview scored two in the top of the eighth. Wayzata could only manage one in their half, or the home half of the eighth. And Moundsview hangs on for a 5-4 victory to punch their ticket to the state championship game. But I happened to be watching that game on the stream on the high school league website and NSPN.TV, and that's certainly one people are going to be talking about for a long time. And then the early game in 4A, Eastridge beat Forest Lake 10-1. The Raptors won their quarterfinal game 7-1, win the nightcap, or I should say their semifinal game 10-1. So it'll be Moundsview and Eastridge for the championship Monday night at Target Field. Wayzata did come back and shut out Forest Lake for third place at CHS Field 3-1. Wayzata had a fine year. Bobby DeWitt, their head coach, they lose one game all year, and it happened to be in the semifinals of the state tournament. And as I mentioned earlier, state lacrosse champions will be crowned today. On the boys' side, Lakeville North and defending champ Benilde St. Margaret's will play their championship game today. And originally, I think that was supposed to be at Eden Prairie, but it looks like they've moved that to Chaska to start at 2:30 today due to the weather. And then, of course, the girls' championship game has Prior Lake and Lakeville South, the number one seed, at 2:30. And that one will be in Eden Prairie. So schedules being adjusted due to the weather. Once again, Twins game postponed today against the A's. If you're just joining us, they will play a split doubleheader tomorrow. The regularly scheduled game will get started at noon with Inside Twins, Chris Atterbury, Derek Falvey. Our lineup card at 12:30, your first pitch 1:10, and then today's game will be made up tomorrow night with the lineup card starting at 6 o'clock. Once again, we have all the news, all the weather coming up at 1, and we'll keep you company on a Saturday here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. If you're looking for the ball game, you're going to need to wait until tomorrow. Today's game postponed. We went on the air with the lineup card at 12:30, and then it was announced at about 12:45 that the Twins would play a Father's Day split doubleheader at Target Field. And once again, game one at 1:10, back that up to the lineup card at 12:30, and then, of course, Inside Twins, Chris Atterbury and Derek Falvey at noon. And then game two coming up on Sunday night, that split doubleheader, lineup card at 6, first pitch at 6:40 tomorrow at Target Field. Once again, showers this afternoon, and then the threat of thunderstorms moves in later in the day, and they just deemed it not feasible to try and squeeze in a ball game today, so they'll do a Father's Day split doubleheader, and we have that excessive heat watch tomorrow on Father's Day. Heat indices could approach 100 degrees here in the metro area. Once again, that heat watch in effect from Sunday afternoon through Sunday evening here in the Twin Cities. And we'll have more on that at the bottom of the hour. Right now, pleased to be joined by Steve Kearney, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. And Steve, this is a typical June, really unsettled weather.
Yeah, it is, Steve. Good afternoon. It's been a tough week, you know, dodging the wind. And I mean, I swear, every day it's blowing 20, 30 miles an hour. It's rain has been coming and going. It's been a pretty tough go. I think the fish are just as confused as I am. It's they're trying to spawn. There's still some late spawners going on. Had a couple crappies yesterday that still had eggs in them. I don't think they know what's going on, kind of just like us. Everything is so confusing. And believe it or not, Steve, the water temperature is still 66, 67 on the average everywhere I was this week in all the different lakes. So it's not doing anything. It should be 78, 77. But so far, the bite is holding up okay. The crappie fishing is changing. They're starting to move out deeper. Walleyes are starting to move out deeper, and we're making the transition to crawlers and leeches now. Pretty much done with minnows. So, yeah, things are changing.
Yeah, and we're just waiting for that hot weather, and it looks like we're going to get some here in the cities tomorrow. But it doesn't take long. It takes a week of that hot stuff, and those water temps really jump.
Yeah, and the wheat growth, too, Steve, is really subdued. It's not, you know, going crazy like it normally does right now, and that's a good thing because it's easy to fish right now. You can fish over the tops of the cabbage. You can fish on the edges, and it's not too, you know, crazy. It certainly will get that way, you know, if we get a string of 90s or whatever, but right now it's very fishable, very doable. We don't have any algae issues. Water quality still good. I mean, everything, keeping our fingers crossed, it's really getting to be, you know, very consistent with nothing super weird. So far, so good.
Yeah, and Steve, you have had good luck. I know in recent reports, you've been pretty pleased on what you've seen on the waters. And once again, depending on the lake, if it has a lot of recreational boaters, the ski boats, the personal watercrafts, et cetera, you know, getting out there early is still key.
Well, I'm on the water at 5:30, Steve, and, and get off about 11 in the morning. And I'll tell you, it's been very inconsistent lake to lake. You know, right now, June, everything should just be rocking and rolling everywhere, but it's really not. I can get on a particular lake this week and struggle. Then I get on a different lake, and it's really going. It's just really up and down, and the fish are moving a lot, again, as they're making their summer transitions here from the spring areas. And so it's just been kind of hit and miss. And, you know, usually at this time of June, all the lakes are going, and you don't know where to go because everything's going, but it's really not the case. It's just picking and choosing, you know, the right lake, you know, is really important right now because they really vary right now.
Steve Kearney joining us, Steve Kearney Outdoors. What's your approach? What type of bait are you using right now? What does Steve Kearney do when he takes a group out?
You know, Steve, the first thing I do when I get to the boat ramp is I check out the skies. I look, is it overcast or is it sunny? And this is the main clue I use for starting my morning. If it's overcast, I love overcast. Those fish are going to be shallow, they're going to be active, and they're going to be coming up out of deep water and actively feeding in 8 to 15 feet of water. That's the best-case scenario. Otherwise, you get out there at the dock and you look, and it's bright sunshine, dead calm, then you got your work cut out for you. Then those fish are not going to be shallow and active. They're going to be deep and loafing and resting in deeper water. So paying attention to that clue of overcast versus sunny is really the main clue when you start in the morning, and then react accordingly. Too many people just, you know, go to shallow areas because they caught fish there and they've never looked at the wind or what the overcast or sunny skies are doing, and they struggle. It's kind of a nice shortcut to getting on fish right away in the morning. Just start that tactic according to overcast or sunny. And, you know, in some days, it can be overcast in the morning and then turn sunny by 10 o'clock, and then you have to completely change gears. So a lot of it is just kind of keep an eye on the sky. What's the sky doing? What's the water temperature? What's the wind direction? You know, little things like that that really, you know, can accelerate your morning and get you on fish sooner.
Well, Steve, where are you going to be in the coming week? You going to stay close to home?
I'm going to be on the water most of the week, Steve, doing my thing. I do want to make one point here. There's a new regulation that's just come out by the CDC. If you plan on going across the border with your dog, amazing hoops you now have to go through. You have to fill out paperwork. You have to get a microchip in your dog. You have to have mug shots of its face, of its body. Your veterinarian has to fill out a ton of forms. This whole thing is brand new. So if you go across the border and try to come back and you don't have any of this done, your dog will not be allowed to come back. So check out the CDC website. Look at the forms. You won't believe the forms. It's totally ridiculous. And your veteran has to get involved, or veterinarian has to get involved with different forms as well. Just tremendous amount of hoops. So heads up to anybody vacationing up into Canada, you know, going waterfowling in the fall, taking their lab with them, you better check this out, because Fido will not be coming across the border with you unless you've got these things done.
Yeah, and do they warn you? This is the first I've heard of it, Steve.
No, it's a cut-and-dried thing. You have to have all these hoops taken care of before you even attempt to get across the border. There's no warnings or, you know, maybe next time. They will not allow that dog across the border. So, I don't know. If you just go on the CDC website, look at the forms, and fill everything out, and it's not just about rabies and distemper. There's all kinds of other things. The dog has to be 6 months old at least. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But make sure, you know, people check that out before they, you know, try to go on vacation or go hunting in the fall. And all these regulations start in August, so you got to get on the stick here to get it done.
All right, and this, once again, is this the United States side or is this the Canadian side that implemented this?
That's the United States side by the Center for Disease Control are kind of running this. So you know, you can probably, I don't know if Canada is going to, you know, probably go through with this same process. I haven't heard anything about that, but yeah, let's say you get into, you know, Lake of the Woods or the Northwest Angler or wherever you happen to go, or Winnipeg, and come back and you don't have, you know, the stuff done, your dog doesn't cross the border. So you don't want to run into that. But, yeah, that's just something that just came up, Steve, like 2-3 days ago. It was just brought to my attention. So people better get on that, you know, get on it while they can.
All right. Thanks for the update on that, Steve. We'll do it again next week, depending on how the weather falls in the Twins ball game.
Hey, I hear you, Steve. Thanks, man. Have a good weekend.
All right, there he is, Steve Kearney, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. And the good news tomorrow, our outdoors coverage will fit in between two Twins games on Father's Day. Rob Dreisein in the Outdoor News, he'll be on between 5 and 6. And game two of that split doubleheader, the lineup card starts at 6. That worked out great, Josh Wheeler. And then we'll have first pitch of that game tomorrow night at 6:40. If you're just tuning in, Twins A's postponed. They'll play the regularly scheduled Father's Day game tomorrow. We'll be on the air at noon with Inside Twins, Chris Atterbury, Derek Falvey. And then at 12:30, the lineup card, first pitch, 1:10. And then today's game will be played tomorrow night with and that's one way to look at it, is the lineup card at 6, first pitch at about 6:40. Target Field, not available on Monday. It is busy. There will be 4 state baseball championship games at Target Field on Monday. And then the Twins and Rays open a 3-game series on Tuesday night in downtown Minneapolis. So that is the lay of the land. Once again, rain threatening all day today, and then the chance thunderstorms goes up as we move later in the day. So the thought is, well, you can't wait for the rain to move through because this is a long rain event, and actually the chance thunderstorms goes up. Once again, the heaviest rain just west and southwest of the Twin Cities, and that continues to track toward the northeast. So rain in our future on this Saturday afternoon here on News Talk 830 WCCO. It is impacting the state lacrosse tournament, and we'll have an update on that. Tim Layton will join us a little bit later on from the Minnesota State High School League at 1:35 to talk not only state baseball and the state lacrosse tournament. They had to juggle some things to get the games in, both boys and girls at Chaska and Eden Prairie. We'll touch on that here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Twins rained out smack dab in the middle of June. Busy day at the ballpark on Father's Day, and it's going to be a warm one. It'll be a split doubleheader. If you're just joining us, we want to give you the lay of the land that they postponed today's game due to the rain that we're going to see. And once the rain moves in, it's going to rain. And the heaviest stuff just on the doorstep of the Twin Cities area. And I would assume the thought was, hey, we'll get it started, but then we'll go into rain delay, and we don't know when we're going to be able to resume the ball game today. So they postponed. Here's the lay of the land tomorrow. Game one at noon, Inside Twins. At 12:30, the lineup card. At 1:10, first pitch. Then that game will end. We will break. As we mentioned, we'll bring you Rob's show from the Outdoor News between 5 and 6. And then game two on Father's Day. Lineup card at 6, first pitch at 6:40. So a rain delay today at Target Field, and a rainout, and those games will be made up tomorrow here on the home of the Twins, News Talk 830-WCCO. And by the way, our sports coverage gets started in earnest at 10 a.m. with the huddle. Pete Najarian and Dave Schwartz with that one. Coming up at 1:35 today, Tim Layton of the Minnesota State High School League. They had to readjust due to the weather due in later today and the threat of thunderstorms, the state lacrosse championship games, and those are going to be played at Chaska and at Eden Prairie, and Tim will give us a lay of the land for that. Those lacrosse championship games scheduled to start at 2:30. The girls at Eden Prairie and the boys are out at Chaska, so be aware of that. And, of course, the state baseball championship games are coming up on Monday, 4 games scheduled at Target Field. And due to the Twins' rainout, We will bring you Tech Talk with Doug Swinhart today between 3 and 4 o'clock. Doug saw we had a rain delay, and we touched base, and he said, you want to talk computers? And I said, absolutely. Let's do it between 3 and 4 o'clock today. So keep that in mind, and we're going to be sprinkling in guests. Looks like we're going to have a neat conversation coming up this afternoon. Dan Gladden, Joan Aithin sat down for an extended conversation, and we'll be bringing that to you a little bit later on, probably between 2 and 3 o'clock today. So if you're looking for some Twins chatter and some baseball chatter, we'll have that for you between 2 and 3 o'clock today here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Steve Thompson, Josh Wheeler alongside, and we have the United States Open Golf Championship, round number 3 underway at Pinehurst number 2. And we talked about this following the news and weather at noon, and the leaders are still not on the course. And the leader, Ludvig Åberg from Sweden, is at 5 under par. American Bryson DeChambeau leads the group at minus 4. Thomas Gent, Dedtree and Patrick Cantlay there as well. Rory McIlroy hasn't teed off yet. He, along with Tony Finau, in a group at minus 3. Hideki Matsuyama all alone at minus 2. And then a big group at minus 1, just under par, including Xander Schauffele. Tiger Woods didn't make the cut. Phil Mickelson didn't make the cut. And barely making the cut at plus 5, Scottie Scheffler. And he shot a 1 over 71 today, and Scotty is at plus 6. Frankie Sappen III from North Oaks, he is at plus 5. 4 over in his round already today. So Frankie took a huge step back, and I'm looking at his card. He opened bogey triple. So Frankie Sappen, 4 over through 2 holes on his round today, and has fallen way down the leaderboard. He opened with a 71 and came back with an even par 70, but got off to a dreadful start in his third round of the United States Open at Pinehurst number 2. And it looks hot, and it looks sunny, and there isn't a cloud in the sky at Pinehurst for that, so we'll keep an eye. And then one other major sporting event to keep an eye on, Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight in Edmonton. Florida can win the Cup. They are up 3-0 in that one. And Minnesota United FC, they're going to be on the road out in Seattle, and that is a late start our time. 9:30 our time at Lumen Field, Seattle and Minnesota. And it's just been extraordinary what the Loons have been able to do this year. With players out of the lineup, they've hit a bump in the road. They got beat by LAFC 2-0 out in Southern California. Came back, beat Kansas City, and then got a draw with Dallas 1-1. So they are in Seattle tonight. So you're up to date on what's going on and some of the sports headlines. And we will keep an eye on the United States Open leaderboard. When we come back, Tim Layton will join us from the Minnesota State High School League, get us up to date on what's been a very busy stretch of state championships for the spring sports. Baseball coming up Monday at Target Field with 4 title games. 2 state lacrosse championships will be decided today. We'll get into all of that with Tim momentarily here on News Talk 830 WCCO. It is 1:33 on a rainy Saturday here at News Talk 830 WCCO. Twins postponed today against Oakland. Once again, split doubleheader tomorrow. Coverage beginning at noon with Inside Twins. Chris Atterbury, Derek Falvey. First pitch of Game 1 at 1:10, then a break. And we'll get started with the lineup card at 6. First pitch tomorrow night at 6:40 at Target Field. State championship baseball games at Target Field on Monday. And Tim Layton joins us from the Minnesota State High School League. He's a communications coordinator, covered high school sports for a long time for the Pioneer Press, and a long time official as well. Tim, good to visit with you.
Well, good afternoon, Steve. And I have to say I chuckled and smiled as I was hearing your weather report, because your words and your forecasting have become a part of our world with the Minnesota State High School League during this spring state tournament run. We've all become junior meteorologists and watching the percentages, learning how to read radar. And so all sorts of weather-related elements go into spring tournaments. But it's great to visit with you. And, yeah, got to know you real well, 31-year run as a reporter with the Pioneer Press, and I'm now in year 10 with the Minnesota State High School League, and glad to visit with you this afternoon.
Yeah, hard to believe it's been 10 years already with the High School League. That's a great run.
Yeah, and really, it's been a, you know, people will tell me it's been a great run, but what really makes it even more special is what you're able to do with that 10 years and then 31 prior at the Pioneer Press. It's being able to serve and serve the member schools of the High School League, and to be able to use your talents and your expertise, and to be able to use that to promote the just the incredible things that are happening within the 525 member schools of the Minnesota State High School League.
Yeah, and you've been involved in the high school sports not only as a reporter and now with the high school league, but a game official. I've seen you at basketball games over the years. How many years have you been doing that, Tim?
I just completed year number 34 in officiating high school and college basketball, and then prior to that, I did a lot of high school varsity soccer in the fall, because I couldn't do football because I was out covering games on a football Friday night. And then during the spring, I did fast pitch and baseball. So have really had a great well-rounded career, and very, very satisfying to be able to give back in that way.
Now, there is news as far as the state lacrosse tournament goes. I covered a couple of quarterfinal games on NSPN.TV, and of course, those are the official streaming site of the high school league. And that was two girls lacrosse quarterfinals out of Chaska, and the weather was spectacular, and the boys were over at Eden Prairie. And we have a weather update today for all the championship games, and times have been moved around a little bit, Tim.
That's correct. The High School League executive staff and the tournament director, in conjunction with our host sites, we did do some adjustment to the times. And so this afternoon, the boys championship lacrosse games will be played at 2:30 at Chaska High School. And then on the girls' side, it will be at that same time at Eden Prairie High School. And the thought behind that, this provides the league the best opportunity to make sure all of those contests could be played. And right now in the Southwest Metro, they've got light drizzle, but the games are going on. The third place game in each class, or each enrollment, are almost completed, and they believe those 2:30 games will be able to be played, which is great news.
Yeah, and I've covered a fair amount of lacrosse over the years, and they will play in inclement weather. And that way, it is played in those stadiums where they play soccer and they play football, and they will play through the rain. Obviously, lightning is a deal breaker. By rule, the games have to be stopped when lightning's visible for 30 minutes, et cetera. But if it's just rain, they'll play through today in lacrosse.
For sure, and we've had coaches that are very supportive of the adjustment in time schedule. A few of them have told us today that they would actually prefer to play in the drizzle as opposed to the heat. But to your point, the lightning is indeed a game changer. Every time a bolt of lightning is viewed in the area, it's 30 minutes, a 30-minute delay, automatic.
Yeah, and Tim, when we talk about sports, and we mentioned your long career as a game official, I just marvel at these state tournaments. I was down in North Mankato for softball at Caswell Park. It goes without saying, every event I attend, every game I call, I try to point out the effect. Look, folks, we can't have games without officials. It's imperative that not only we have game officials, but we continue to recruit new officials. And I know, Tim, you're very active in that.
Yeah, and I appreciate those words about the affirmation of the officiating avocation because it is something that I'm passionate about, and the league is passionate about spreading that message as well, not only in Minnesota, but the NFHS nationwide with all state associations. And we're always trying to cultivate and create new officials and get them to year three. Year three is that golden year that we try to, if we can get an official with the right kind of mentoring and leadership and guidance, if we can get them to year three, then the belief is that we can have them be a long-time official. But as you know, we've got some unsporting behavior going on from coast to coast, and for a new official, that can be challenging to handle, and they have to weigh the pros and cons of being able to continue in this avocation. But with the high school league and work with the state or the other local associations, we do provide tools. We say that they have a tool belt, and in that tool belt are ways to be able to manage crowds, manage coaches, manage players in a positive way, so that it is a positive experience for all.
Yeah, and officials are needed in all sports. We think so often in the fall of football or volleyball or soccer, and you think about, you know, being a football official or a basketball official or a soccer official, or for that matter, lacrosse today. That is physical. I mean, you are on the move, and you're going to get a lot of steps in it. But there are other ways you can help out and be a game official that may not be as physically demanding, and you can learn and contribute. I think of swimming, volleyball officials, etc. There are ways that even older folks that maybe can't move up and down the field or up and down the court anymore can still contribute and be sports officials.
Agreed. And there's a saying that we have in officiating is you can never stay the same. You can't be complacent. Because if you stay complacent, then that's when things will start going south on you. So you always want to get better. And getting better can be being in the rule books a little more. It could be working out. It could be you're doing whatever you can do to continue maintaining. You always want to improve. You always want to keep getting better. But to your point, if the physical pieces aren't there, there are other avenues to be able to take in officiating, something that would be a tribute to your positive high school experience. Maybe it's music. Maybe it's fine arts. There's always opportunities to be a music judge or a speech judge. There's all sorts of avenues that individuals can give back and through officiating, and we're here at the High School League to help you through that. And one thing I should mention is during the official shortage that we have had for the last handful of years, a real tribute needs to go out to the veteran officials. They are the ones that have really kept things afloat. While the recruiting and the retaining of officials has been going on, it's those veteran officials that we are really, really grateful for, because they have been able to keep the games going. And some of them, by making that sacrifice of working more contests than maybe they had wanted to, but that was their way of giving back until we can get through and get those officials numbers up to great levels.
Tim Layton joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Once again, Twins game postponed today. Split doubleheader tomorrow. More on that coming up. And some time adjustments for the state lacrosse tournament. The boys championship game at 2:30 Lakeville North and Benilde St. Margaret's will be played at Chaska. And then the girls championship game will be played at 2:30 Prior Lake against Lakeville South. And that will be at Eden Prairie. Consolation games were played earlier, third place games underway, and once again a tip of the cap to all these sites. And Tim, that's one other thing I wanted to bring up. You have for lacrosse, Chaska and Eden Prairie stepping up, doing a great job. St. Michael Albertville for track and field. What a phenomenal job. I was out there for that meet a year ago. Everybody gets involved to make that happen. It's extraordinary.
A tip of the cap here to AD Keith Cornell and his incredible staff at St. Michael Albertville. They put on a first-class facility for our track and field state meet. And yes, there are so many behind-the-scenes workers working on behalf of all of those thousands of participants, and it really is an incredible 3 days of track and field at St. Michael, Albertville. We're very grateful for that partnership there.
And one other item I want to bring up, and I've mentioned it several times today, and that is Target Field made available for the state baseball championship games again this year. And the games start at 10 a.m. with 1 a.m. finish with the 4A title game on Monday night. And players, coaches, everyone's really thrilled to be able to do that. And the venues that are available for these state championships, from the fall sports through the spring sports, is really incredible.
Well, and it's another just a great example of the partnership that the Minnesota State High School League has with the Minnesota Twins to be able to offer that incredible venue as a site for the championship series. What a thrill for a player to be able to play in that venue, to be able to walk up to the batter's box and see your headshot up on the jumbo scoreboard. And it's all a part of the great experience. And we were in a meeting this morning with the 8 participating teams in the 4 championship games, and they are absolutely thrilled. Their communities are excited to come to the Twin Cities and watch this culmination of another great baseball season.
Yeah, and all the other venues that hosted quarterfinal and semifinal games. I was over at CHS Field in St. Paul late Thursday afternoon and Thursday evening, and you know what a great ballpark CHS is, and to have access to that, and it's really incredible. And of course Chaska stepped up, and then 2 ballparks in the St. Cloud area hosting baseball this year.
Oh, for sure. And for the last handful of years, I've been the manager of the Class 3A site, which this year was at Chaska. And what a delight it is to, you know, there's so much history just dripping with history and tradition. And you talked about the passionate folks who are plugged into the community to make this just a great day. And on day one, I was your fun fact of the day, they grilled and sold 600 cheeseburgers for the fans that day and 700 hot dogs. So amazing. It was just an amazing event. And then on the flip side, Jordan at the mini-met, just a few miles down Highway 169, another terrific, terrific venue with their famed pork burgers that they have. So anyway, just incredible experiences and that leave smiles on people's faces.
Well, Tim, always good to visit with you. Thanks for the update on lacrosse. And hopefully we'll see you at Target Field on Monday.
I look forward to it, Steve, and stay dry, everyone.
All right, Tim Layton from the Minnesota State High School League giving us an update. Weather impacting events, once again, state lacrosse. Girls championship game as scheduled at 2:30 at Eden Prairie. It'll be Prior Lake and Lakeville South. The boys game was scheduled at 6. They've moved that to Chaska at 2:30, and that'll be Lakeville North against Benilde St. Margaret's. So lacrosse titles will be handed out. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll have another update on the sports headlines. If you're just tuning in, Twins and A's postponed today due to heavy rain moving in this afternoon and thunderstorms tonight. They'll play a split doubleheader tomorrow. We'll have all the details coming up. By the way, all the news, all the weather at 2 here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. All the news, all the weather coming up at 2 o'clock on this Saturday. And we have rain on the way. Twins postponed, 67 now. Southeast winds at 12. And if you're out and about and curious on the radar picture, heavy rain just on the edge of the metro area. South, southwest, west metro. And it continues to kind of track right up the Minnesota River toward downtown Minneapolis, downtown St. Paul, and then behind that, widely scattered showers and thunderstorms and some heavy rain, maybe a half inch today, and then maybe another half inch up to an inch, and maybe more depending on where you're located, and then sunny, hot, humid on Father's Day, and there is an excessive heat watch in effect for tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow evening. And that's just for the 7-county metro area, just the heart of the metro area for tomorrow on Father's Day. And if you're just joining us looking for the ball game, we will tell you today's game was rained out, postponed to tomorrow. And on Father's Day, we'll see a split doubleheader. Our coverage begins at noon. Derek Falvey, Chris Atterbury, Inside Twins. Lineup card 12:30, first pitch 1:10. And then at 6, same deal. We'll come back with the lineup card, first pitch at 6:40. So a split doubleheader on Father's Day. Target Field not available on Monday due to 4 state championship games, even though the schedule has the Twins and the A's off, so they're going to hang around another day. But 4 state title games over at Target Field on Monday starting at 10 a.m. And then the Rays come to town Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and a Thursday matinee. Twins roared back for a big win last night. And we've got a cool interview coming up following the news at 2. And our friends with the Minnesota Twins and Andrew Halverson, Dan Gladden sat down with one of the all-time great closers in Twins history, Joe Nathan, and they had a chat. Joe is in town, sat down with Dan Gladden. We'll have that for you. They're going to play a part of it tomorrow on the pregame show on Father's Day, but they gave us a whole interview to play following the news and weather here at 2 o'clock. And then my good friend Kevin Lynch will join us. We'll talk NBA Finals. Yes, the Finals continue. Dallas won game 4. Celtics lead 3-1. They head home trying to close it out. Kevin Lynch will join us to talk hoops. Maybe a little tennis as well. Kev loves tennis. Of course, he was a big star at Bloomington Jefferson, went on to the University of Minnesota, played in the NBA, played in Europe for a long time, and now part of the Bally Sports North team covering the Timberwolves. And Kevin Lynch will join us at 2:35 today. And then Tech Talk fans, Doug is back today. Tech Talk with Doug Swinhart between 3 and 4 o'clock. So we'll certainly keep you company here on this Saturday afternoon. Josh Wheeler is our producer alongside. And the U.S. Open, the leaders still haven't teed off at the U.S. Open. As a matter of fact, the final group of the day will tee off at 2:35 our time at Pinehurst number 2 in the Sand Hills of North Carolina. And a Swede, Lucas Olberg, is your leader at 5 under par. It's warm, it's sunny in North Carolina. Bryson DeChambeau, Thomas Dettry, Patrick Cantlay, all at -4. They won't hit the course here for another 30 minutes or so. Rory McIlroy teeing off at 2:13 our time with Tony Finau. Hideki Matsuyama getting ready to tee it up. He's at -2 all alone there. And then a large group at -1. Colin Morikawa had the round of the day so far, a 4 under 66. He is now done for the day at even par, and he may have moved into contention. Even might still be in it. Xander Schauffele's in a group at even. He is at 1 over. He bogeyed his first hole of the day today. World number 1, Scotty Scheffler, didn't do much today at 1 over 71. He is at +6 and out of contention. He barely made it to the weekend. We'll have the news, another update on the weather here on a Saturday at News Talk 830-WCCO. And just like that, we are back. Thanks so much for joining us. Twins and A's postponed today, and I don't know about you, Josh, but I can't remember them doing the split doubleheader like they're going to do on Sunday, where they've got, you know, the regular 1 o'clock game, then they're going to clear the ballpark and come back and do a Sunday night tilt. Now, as you heard a moment ago, Gino mentioned that neither team plays on Monday, so the A's can stay in later. They're flying on a charter, and they can leave town whenever they want. But typically on a Sunday, if you get rained out on a Saturday, you would just do a straight doubleheader. But in this case, they're going to split it up. So Twins baseball tomorrow, it's going to be a hot one. We'll have Inside Twins at noon, as Gino mentioned a moment ago. Chris Atterbury, Derek Falvey at noon. Lineup card 12:30, your first pitch 1:10 as scheduled. Then they'll play that ball game and then come back, 6 o'clock pregame, and a 6:40 first pitch. So we'll get a little Sunday night baseball at Target Field. But once again, rain threatening. We'll get you up to date on the radar. And right now, it's not bad here in the cities. Just some light rain, but there is very, very heavy rain moving up the Minnesota River from Mankato. So that's the story. But back to tomorrow, a rare Sunday split doubleheader.
Yeah, that'll be something. Typically, the way we do it here is back-to-back. I've worked a couple back-to-backs here on Saturdays, and
No doubt.
Yeah, it's quite a lot because, pulling the curtain back a little bit, the guys over at the field take it from pretty much the pregame up until the postgame finishes. So yours truly here jotting down notes, keep track of it. Can't, unfortunately, watch the game, but you can still listen to it on the airwaves where that's a long time. I think the split series is almost a little bit easier, but it's the awkward middle part that you got to find time to fill and whatnot. But I'm trying to think of when the last time they did.
A split doubleheader has been scheduled on, say, a Saturday.
Yeah.
If you had a game early in the year due to cold weather or snow or whatever. Yeah. They'll do a split doubleheader on a Saturday. Well, they'll go, say, at noon and at 6. That's typical because you have the ticket buyers from the postponed game. You have the ticket buyers for the scheduled Saturday night game. You get it. But, now they're going to do the split on a Sunday at Target Field. So that is the very latest. If you're just tuning in, looking for the lineup card, getting ready for the ball game, the game has been postponed due to rain. Lineup card got started as scheduled at 12:30 today, but we will not have a ball game at Target Field today due to the weather. And once again, speaking of the weather, we should probably run down the forecast and give people an idea of what we're dealing with on this Saturday. Showers with thunderstorms possible after 4. And I think that's the big reason they didn't wait, is because we're supposed to see even more rain and then the threat of thunderstorms and lightning later in the day. And that threat really doesn't move in until around 4. High today, 71. Our chance of rain, 90%. And then tonight, showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 1 a.m. at a low near 65. And then the winds will crank up out of the southeast at 10 to 15 with gusts as high as 25 miles an hour. Now, Sunday, Father's Day, sunny and a high near 91. Heat index values as high as 100 tomorrow. And then overnight Sunday into Monday, showers and thunderstorms likely. And then there is a chance of showers and thunderstorms on Monday as well at Target Field. And as you heard Chris mention, 4 state high school championship games scheduled at Target Field on Monday, and the weather is unsettled at best. Target Field not available on Tuesday. The Twins are home with the Rays coming to town Tuesday, Wednesday, and a Thursday matinee. So they've got to try and get those high school games in on Monday, those championship games, or otherwise they've got to find another alternative because Target Field not available Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. So wet June weather. I think we got spoiled a year ago with how dry it was in these parts, but this is a typical June. And you think about over the years and all the grad parties and all the graduation ceremonies, dodging raindrops and showers and thunderstorms. We're kind of right back at it this year in the upper Midwest with showers and thunderstorms threatening certainly today. And I think another reason they did the split, Josh, is because tomorrow's Father's Day.
Yep.
Huge day at the ballpark. So you've got that crowd coming in, and then you've got what figured to be a good crowd on a Saturday coming in for the ball game today. So they're going to try and accommodate everyone on Father's Day at Target Field with the split doubleheader on Sunday. But Mother Nature not cooperating.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I didn't really catch. I know Gino talked about it a little bit. Isn't there also there's, and maybe even you did too. I was trying to figure out the plan going forward as we are jumping back into the fire here. But Isn't there high school baseball still going on, still planned at Target Field?
No, they wrapped up all the games except the championship games on Friday. So what they did is they had quarterfinals on Thursday, and then they had championship semifinals in all four classes on Friday. Plus, they played the third-place game and the consolation round games on Friday. So everybody's done except for the championship games. And we can run down some of those scores in a moment and kind of recap everyone on what happened on Friday. Some wild games around the state of Minnesota, including one for the books at Target Field. Hidden ball trick came into play in one of the games on Friday at CHS Field in Class 4A. But if you are indeed wondering, those four high school championship games will be played at Target Field on Monday. And the 1A game starts at 10 a.m. And here's a rundown of those games. Once again, Twins hosting at Target Field. The 1A championship game, Parker's Prairie and Springfield. And then at 1, Foley and Rockford. At 4:30, Totino Grace and Matamidi. And then the big schools, Moundsview and Eastridge, playing the 4A championship game, scheduled at 7:30. But right now, the forecast, very unsettled. So I have a feeling we're going to be dodging raindrops for those games Monday at Target Field. But back to Friday in a wild day. And once again, all the championship semifinals were played, and all the third-place games were played. And over at CHS Field, the site of 4A, a couple of games for the books. And in that, where you not only had Moundsview beat Wayzata. Wayzata was the number one seed. They were unbeaten. Wayzata late in the ballgame, sixth inning, they were down 3-2. They had runners at the corners, and Moundsview pulled off a successful hidden ball trick to maintain the lead. Wayzata would eventually tie it up, and then Moundsview would pull out the 5-4 win in eight innings. But the old hidden ball trick paid dividends. Wayzata got a tying run in the seventh. Moundsview scored two in the top of the eighth. Wayzata could only manage one in their half, or the home half of the eighth, and Moundsview hangs on for a 5-4 victory to punch their ticket to the state championship game. But I happened to be watching that game on the stream on the high school league website and NSPN.TV. And that's certainly one people are going to be talking about for a long time. And then the early game in 4A, Eastridge beat Forest Lake 10-1. The Raptors won their quarterfinal game 7-1, win the nightcap, or I should say their semifinal game 10-1. So it'll be Moundsview and Eastridge for the championship Monday night at Target Field. Wayzata did come back and shut out Forest Lake for third place at CHS Field 3-1. Wayzata had a fine year. Bobby DeWitt, their head coach, they lose one game all year, and it happened to be in the semifinals of the state tournament. And as I mentioned earlier, state lacrosse champions will be crowned today. On the boys' side, Lakeville North and defending champ Benilde St. Margaret's will play their championship game today. And originally, I think that was supposed to be at Eden Prairie, but it looks like they've moved that to Chaska to start at 2:30 today due to the weather. And then, of course, the girls' championship game has Prior Lake and Lakeville South, the number one seed, at 2:30. And that one will be in Eden Prairie. So schedules being adjusted due to the weather. Once again, Twins game postponed today against the A's. If you're just joining us, they will play a split doubleheader tomorrow. The regularly scheduled game will get started at noon with Inside Twins, Chris Atterbury, Derek Falvey. Our lineup card at 12:30, your first pitch 1:10. And then today's game will be made up tomorrow night with the lineup card starting at 6 o'clock. Once again, we have all the news, all the weather coming up at 1. And we'll keep you company on a Saturday here at News Talk 830-WCCO. If you're looking for the ball game, you're going to need to wait until tomorrow. Today's game postponed. We went on the air with the lineup card at 12:30, and then it was announced at about 12:45 that the Twins would play a Father's Day split doubleheader at Target Field. And once again, game one at 1:10, backed that up to the lineup card at 12:30, and then, of course, inside Twins, Chris Atterbury and Derek Falvey at noon. And then game two coming up on Sunday night, that split doubleheader, lineup card at 6, first pitch at 6:40 tomorrow at Target Field. Once again, showers this afternoon, and then the threat of thunderstorms moves in later in the day, and they just deemed it not feasible to try and squeeze in a ball game today, so they'll do a Father's Day split doubleheader. And we have that excessive heat watch tomorrow on Father's Day. Heat indices could approach 100 degrees here in the metro area. Once again, that heat watch in effect from Sunday afternoon through Sunday evening here in the Twin Cities. And we'll have more on that at the bottom of the hour. Right now, pleased to be joined by Steve Kearney, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. And Steve, this is a typical June, really unsettled weather.
Yeah, it is, Steve. Good afternoon. It's been a tough week, you know, dodging the wind. And I mean, I swear every day it's blowing 20, 30 miles an hour. It's rain has been coming and going. It's been a pretty tough go. I think the fish are just as confused as I am. It's they're trying to spawn. There's still some late spawners going on. Had a couple crappies yesterday that still had eggs in them. I don't think they know what's going on, kind of just like us. Everything is so confusing. And believe it or not, Steve, the water temperature is still 66, 67 on the average everywhere I was this week at all the different lakes. So it's not doing anything. It should be 78, 77. But so far the bite is holding up okay. The crappie fishing is changing. They're starting to move out deeper. Walleyes are starting to move out deeper, and we're making the transition to crawlers and leeches now. I'm pretty much done with minnows. So, yeah, things are changing.
Yeah, and we're just waiting for that hot weather, and it looks like we're going to get some here in the cities tomorrow. But it doesn't take long. It takes a week of that hot stuff, and those water temps really jump.
Yeah, and the wheat growth, too, Steve, is really subdued. It's not, you know, going crazy like it normally does right now, and that's a good thing because it's easy to fish right now. You can fish over the tops of the cabbage. You can fish on the edges, and it's not too, you know, crazy. It certainly will get that way, you know, if we get a string of 90s or whatever, but right now it's very fishable, very doable. We don't have any algae issues. Water quality still good. I mean, everything, keeping our fingers crossed, it's really getting to be, you know, very consistent with nothing super weird. So far, so good.
Yeah, and Steve, you have had good luck. I know in recent reports you've been pretty pleased on what you've seen on the waters. And once again, depending on the lake, if it has a lot of recreational boaters, the ski boats, the personal watercrafts, et cetera, you know, getting out there early is still key.
Well, I'm on the water at 5:30, Steve, and, yep, and get off about 11 in the morning. And I'll tell you, it's been very inconsistent lake to lake. You know, right now, June, everything should just be rocking and rolling everywhere, but it's really not. I can get on a particular lake this week and struggle. Then I get on a different lake, and it's really going. It's just really up and down, and the fish are moving a lot, again, as they're making their summer transitions here from the spring areas. And so it's just been kind of hit and miss. And, you know, usually at this time of June, all the lakes are going, and you don't know where to go because everything's going, but it's really not the case. It's just picking and choosing, you know, the right lake, you know, is really important right now because they really vary right now.
Steve Kearney joining us, Steve Kearney Outdoors. What's your approach? What type of bait are you using right now? What does Steve Kearney do when he takes a group out?
You know, Steve, the first thing I do when I get to the boat ramp is I check out the skies. I look, is it overcast or is it sunny? And this is the main clue I use for starting my morning. If it's overcast, I love overcast. Those fish are going to be shallow, they're going to be active, and they're going to be coming up out of deep water and actively feeding in 8 to 15 feet of water. That's the best-case scenario. Otherwise, you get out there at the dock and you look, and it's bright sunshine, dead calm, then you got your work cut out for you. Then those fish are not going to be shallow and active. They're going to be deep and loafing and resting in deeper water. So paying attention to that clue of overcast versus sunny is really the main clue when you start in the morning, and then react accordingly. Too many people just, you know, go to shallow areas because they caught fish there and they've never looked at the wind or what the overcast or sunny skies are doing, and they struggle. It's kind of a nice shortcut to getting on fish right away in the morning. Just start that tactic according to overcast or sunny. And, you know, in some days, it can be overcast in the morning and then turn sunny by 10 o'clock, and then you have to completely change gears. So a lot of it is just kind of keep an eye on the sky. What's the sky doing? What's the water temperature? What's the wind direction? You know, little things like that that really, you know, can accelerate your morning and get you on fish sooner.
Well, Steve, where are you going to be in the coming week? You going to stay close to home?
I'm going to be on the water most of the week, Steve, doing my thing. I do want to make one point here. There's a new regulation that's just come out by the CDC. If you plan on going across the border with your dog, amazing hoops you now have to go through. You have to fill out paperwork. You have to get a microchip in your dog. You have to have mug shots of its face, of its body. Your veterinarian has to fill out a ton of forms. This whole thing is brand new. So if you go across the border and try to come back and you don't have any of this done, your dog will not be allowed to come back. So check out the CDC website. Look at the forms. You won't believe the forms. It's totally ridiculous. And your veteran has to get involved, or veterinarian has to get involved with different forms as well. Just tremendous amount of hoops. So heads up to anybody vacationing up into Canada, you know, going waterfowling in the fall, taking their lab with them, you better check this out, because Fido will not be coming across the border with you unless you've got these things done.
Yeah, and do they warn you? This is the first I've heard of it, Steve.
No, it's a cut-and-dried thing. You have to have all these hoops taken care of before you even attempt to get across the border. There's no warnings or, you know, maybe next time. They will not allow that dog across the border. So, I don't know. If you just go on the CDC website, look at the forms, and fill everything out, and it's not just about rabies and distemper. There's all kinds of other things. The dog has to be 6 months old at least. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But make sure, you know, people check that out before they, you know, try to go on vacation or go hunting in the fall. And all these regulations start in August, so you got to get on the stick here to get it done.
All right, and this, once again, is this the United States side or is this the Canadian side that implemented this?
That's the United States side by the Center for Disease Control are kind of running this. So, you know, you can probably, I don't know if Canada is going to, you know, probably go through with this same process. I haven't heard anything about that. But, yeah, let's say you get into, you know, Lake of the Woods or the Northwest Angler or wherever you happen to go, or Winnipeg, and come back and you don't have, you know, the stuff done. Your dog doesn't cross the border. So you don't want to run into that. That's just something that just came up, Steve, like 2-3 days ago. It was just brought to my attention. So people better get on that, you know, get on it while they can.
All right. Thanks for the update on that, Steve. We'll do it again next week, depending on how the weather falls in the Twins ball game.
Hey, I hear you, Steve. Thanks, man. Have a good weekend.
All right. There he is, Steve Kearney, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. And the good news tomorrow, our outdoors coverage will fit in between two Twins games on Father's Day. Rob Dreisein in the Outdoor News, he'll be on between 5 and 6. And game 2 of that split doubleheader, the lineup card starts at 6. That worked out great, Josh Wheeler. And then we'll have first pitch of that game tomorrow night at 6:40. If you're just tuning in, Twins A's postponed. They'll play the regularly scheduled Father's Day game tomorrow We'll be on the air at noon with Inside Twins, Chris Atterbury, Derek Falvey, and then at 12:30, the lineup card, first pitch, 1:10. And then today's game will be played tomorrow night with, and that's one way to look at it, is the lineup card at 6, first pitch at about 6:40. Target Field, not available on Monday. It is busy. There will be 4 state baseball championship games at Target Field on Monday, and then the Twins and Rays open a 3-game series on Tuesday night in downtown Minneapolis. So that is the lay of the land. Once again, rain threatening all day today, and then the chance thunderstorms goes up as we move later in the day. So the thought is, well, you can't wait for the rain to move through because this is a long rain event. And actually, the chance of thunderstorms goes up. Once again, the heaviest rain just west and southwest of the Twin Cities, and that continues to track toward the northeast. So, rain in our future on this Saturday afternoon here on News Talk 830 WCCO. It is impacting the state lacrosse tournament, and we'll have an update on that. Tim Layton will join us a little bit later on from the Minnesota State High School League at 1:35 to talk not only state baseball and the state lacrosse tournament. They had to juggle some things to get the games in, both boys and girls at Chaska and Eden Prairie. We'll touch on that here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Twins rained out smack dab in the middle of June. Busy day at the ballpark on Father's Day, and it's going to be a warm one. It'll be a split doubleheader if you're just joining us. We want to give you the lay of the land that they postponed today's game due to the rain that we're going to see. And once the rain moves in, it's going to rain. And the heaviest stuff just on the doorstep of the Twin Cities area, and I would assume the thought was, hey, we'll get it started, but then we'll go into rain delay, and we don't know when we're going to be able to resume the ball game today. So they postponed. Here's the lay of the land tomorrow. Game 1 at noon, Inside Twins at 12:30, the lineup card at 1:10, first pitch. Then that game will end. We will break, as we mentioned. We'll bring you Rob's show from the Outdoor News between 5 and 6. And then game 2 on Father's Day. Lineup card at 6, first pitch at 6:40. So a rain delay today at Target Field and a rain out. And those games will be made up tomorrow here on the home of the Twins. News Talk 830 WCCO. And by the way, our sports coverage gets started in earnest at 10 a.m. with the huddle. Pete Najarian and Dave Schwartz. With that one. Coming up at 1:35 today, Tim Layton of the Minnesota State High School League. They had to readjust due to the weather due in later today and the threat of thunderstorms. The state lacrosse championship games, and those are going to be played at Chaska and at Eden Prairie. And Tim will give us a lay of the land for that. Those lacrosse championship games scheduled to start at 2:30. The girls at Eden Prairie and the boys are out at Chaska, so be aware of that. And, of course, the state baseball championship games are coming up on Monday, 4 games scheduled at Target Field. And due to the Twins rainout, we will bring you Tech Talk with Doug Swinhart today between 3 and 4 o'clock. Doug saw we had a rain delay, and we touched base, and he said, You want to talk computers? And I said, absolutely. Let's do it between 3 and 4 o'clock today. So keep that in mind. And we're going to be sprinkling in guests. Looks like we're going to have a neat conversation coming up this afternoon. Dan Gladden, Joe Nathan sat down for an extended conversation, and we'll be bringing that to you a little bit later on, probably between 2 and 3 o'clock today. So if you're looking for some Twins chatter and some baseball chatter, we'll have that for you between 2 and 3 o'clock today here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Steve Thompson, Josh Wheeler alongside, and we have the United States Open Golf Championship, round number 3 underway at Pinehurst number 2. And we talked about this following the news and weather at noon, and the leaders are still not on the course. And the leader, Ludvig Åberg from Sweden, is at 5 under par. American Bryson DeChambeau leads the group at minus 4. Thomas Dettry and Patrick Cantlay there as well. Rory McIlroy hasn't teed off yet. He, along with Tony Finau, in a group at minus 3. Hideki Matsuyama all alone at minus 2. And then a big group at minus 1, just under par, including Xander Schauffele. Tiger Woods didn't make the cut. Phil Mickelson didn't make the cut. And barely making the cut at plus 5, Scottie Scheffler. And he shot a 1 over 71 today. And Scottie is at plus 6. Frankie Sappin the third from North Oaks, he is at plus 5. 4 over in his round already today. So Frankie took a huge step back. And I'm looking at his card. He opened bogey triple. So Frankie Sappin 4 over through 2 holes on his round today. And has fallen way down the leaderboard. He opened with a 71 and came back with an even par 70, but got off to a dreadful start in his third round of the United States Open at Pinehurst number 2. And it looks hot, and it looks sunny, and there isn't a cloud in the sky at Pinehurst for that, so we'll keep an eye. And then one other major sporting event to keep an eye on, Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight in Edmonton. Florida can win the Cup. They are up 3-0 in that one. And Minnesota United FC, they're going to be on the road out in Seattle, and that is a late start our time. 9:30 our time at Lumen Field, Seattle and Minnesota. And it's just been extraordinary what the Loons have been able to do this year. With players out of the lineup, they've hit a bump in the road. They got beat by LAFC 2-0 out in Southern California. Came back, beat Kansas City, and then got a draw with Dallas 1-1. So they are in Seattle tonight. So you're up to date on what's going on and some of the sports headlines. And we will keep an eye on the United States Open leaderboard. When we come back, Tim Layton will join us from the Minnesota State High School League, get us up to date on what's been a very busy stretch of state championships for the spring sports. Baseball coming up Monday at Target Field with 4 title games. 2 state lacrosse championships will be decided today. We'll get into all of that with Tim momentarily here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is 1:33 on a rainy Saturday here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. Twins postponed today against Oakland. Once again, split doubleheader tomorrow. Coverage beginning at noon with Inside Twins. Chris Atterbury, Derek Falvey. First pitch of Game 1 at 1:10, then a break. And we'll get started with the lineup card at 6. First pitch tomorrow night at 6:40 at Target Field. State championship baseball games at Target Field on Monday. And Tim Layton joins us from the Minnesota State High School League. He's a communications coordinator. Covered high school sports for a long time for the Pioneer Press and a long time official as well. Tim, good to visit with you.
Well, good afternoon, Steve. And I have to say I chuckled as I was hearing your weather report, because your words and your forecasting have become a part of our world with the Minnesota State High School League during this spring state tournament run. We've all become junior meteorologists and watching the percentages, learning how to read radar. And so all sorts of weather-related elements go into spring tournaments. But it's great to visit with you. And, yeah, got to know you real well, 31-year run as a reporter with the Pioneer Press, and I'm now in year 10 with the Minnesota State High School League, and glad to visit with you this afternoon.
Yeah, hard to believe it's been 10 years already with the high school league. That's a great run.
Yeah, and really, it's been a, you know, people will tell me it's been a great run, but what really makes it even more special is what you're able to do with that 10 years and then 31 prior at the Pioneer Press. It's being able to serve and serve the member schools of the high school league and to be able to use your talents and your expertise and to be able to use that to promote the just the incredible things that are happening within the 525 member schools of the Minnesota State High School League.
Yeah, and you've been involved in a high school sports not only as a reporter and now with the high school league, but a game official. I've seen you at basketball games over the years. How many years have you been doing that, Tim?
I just completed year number 34 in officiating high school and college basketball. And then prior to that, I did a lot of high school varsity soccer in the fall because I couldn't do football because I was out covering games on a football Friday night. And then during the spring, I did fast pitch and baseball. So I have really had a great, great well-rounded career and very, very satisfying to be able to give back in that way.
Now, there is news as far as the state lacrosse tournament goes. I covered a couple of quarterfinal games on NSPN.TV, and of course, those are the official streaming site of the high school league. And that was two girls lacrosse quarterfinals out of Chaska, and the weather was spectacular, and the boys were over at Eden Prairie. And we have a weather update today for all the championship games, and times have been moved around a little bit, Tim.
That's correct. The high school league executive staff and the tournament director, in conjunction with our host sites, we did do some adjustment to the times. And so this afternoon, the boys championship lacrosse games will be played at 2:30 at Chaska High School, and then on the girls' side, it will be at that same time at Eden Prairie High School. And the thought behind that, this provides the league the best opportunity to make sure all of those contests could be played. And right now in the Southwest Metro, they've got light drizzle, but the games are going on. The third place game in each class, or each enrollment, are almost completed, and they believe those 2:30 games will be able to be played, which is great news.
Yeah, and I've covered a fair amount of lacrosse over the years, and they will play in inclement weather. And that way, it is played in those stadiums where they play soccer and they play football, and they will play through the rain. Obviously, lightning is a deal-breaker. By rule, the games have to be stopped when lightning's visible for 30 minutes, et cetera. But if it's just rain, they'll play through today in lacrosse.
For sure, and we've had coaches that are very supportive of the adjustment in time schedule. A few of them have told us today that they would actually prefer to play in the drizzle as opposed to the heat. But to your point, the lightning is indeed a game changer. Every time a bolt of lightning is viewed in the area, it's 30 minutes, a 30-minute delay, automatic.
Yeah, and Tim, when we talk about sports, and we mentioned your long career as a game official, I just marvel at these state tournaments. I was down in North Mankato for softball at Caswell Park. It goes without saying, every event I attend, every game I call, I try to point out the effect. Look, folks, we can't have games without officials. It's imperative that not only we have game officials, but we continue to recruit new officials. And I know, Tim, you're very active in that.
Yeah, and I appreciate those words about the affirmation of the officiating avocation, because it is something that I'm passionate about, and the league is passionate about spreading that message as well, not only in Minnesota, but the NFHS nationwide with all state associations. And we're always trying to cultivate and create new officials and get them to year three. Year three is that golden year that we try to, if we can get an official with the right kind of mentoring and leadership and guidance, if we can get them to year three, then the belief is that we can have them be a long time official. But as you know, we've got some unsporting behavior going on from coast to coast, and for a new official, that can be challenging to handle, and they have to weigh the pros and cons of being able to continue in this avocation. But with the high school league and work with the state association or the other local associations, we do provide tools. We say that they have a tool belt, and in that tool belt are ways to be able to manage crowds, manage coaches, manage players in a positive way, so that it is a positive experience for all.
Yeah, and officials are needed in all sports. We think so often in the fall of football or volleyball or soccer, and you think about, you know, being a football official or a basketball official or a soccer official, or for that matter, lacrosse today, that is physical. I mean, you are on the move, and you're going to get a lot of steps in it. But there are other ways you can help out and be a game official that may not be as physically demanding, and you can learn and contribute. I think of swimming, volleyball officials, etc. There are ways that even older folks that maybe can't move up and down the field or up and down the court anymore can still contribute and be sports officials.
Agreed. And there's a saying that we have in officiating is you can never stay the same. You can't be complacent. Because if you stay complacent, then that's when things will start going south on you. So you always want to get better. And getting better can be being in the rule book a little more. It could be working out. It could be you're doing whatever you can do to continue maintaining. You always want to improve. You always want to keep getting better. But to your point, if the physical pieces aren't there, there are other avenues to be able to take in officiating, something that would be a tribute to your positive high school experience. That you know, maybe it's music. Maybe it's fine arts. There's always opportunities to be a music judge or a speech judge. There's all sorts of avenues that individuals can give back and through officiating, and we're here at the High School League to help you through that. And one thing I should mention is during the official shortage that we have had for the last handful of years, a real tribute needs to go out to the veteran officials. They are the ones that have really kept things afloat. While the recruiting and the retaining of officials has been going on, it's those veteran officials that we are really, really grateful for, because they have been able to keep the games going. And some of them, by making that sacrifice of working more contests than maybe they had wanted to, but that was their way of giving back until we can get through and get those officials numbers up to great levels.
Tim Layton joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Once again, Twins game postponed today. Split doubleheader tomorrow. More on that coming up. And some time adjustments for the state lacrosse tournament. The boys championship game at 2:30 Lakeville North and Benilde St. Margaret's will be played at Chaska. And then the girls championship game will be played at 2:30 Prior Lake against Lakeville South. And that will be at Eden Prairie. Consolation games were played earlier, third place games underway, and once again a tip of the cap to all these sites. And Tim, that's one other thing I wanted to bring up. You have for lacrosse, Chask and Eden Prairie stepping up, doing a great job. St. Michael Albertville for track and field. What a phenomenal job. I was out there for that meet a year ago. Everybody gets involved to make that happen. It's extraordinary.
Well, a tip of the cap here to AD Keith Cornell and his incredible staff at St. Michael Albertville. They put on a first-class facility for our track and field state meet. And yes, there are so many behind-the-scenes workers working on behalf of all of those thousands of participants, and it really is an incredible 3 days of track and field at St. Michael Albertville. We're very grateful for that partnership there.
And one other item I want to bring up, and I've mentioned it several times today, and that is Target Field made available for the state baseball championship games again this year. And the games start at 10 a.m. with 1A and finish with the 4A title game on Monday night. And players, coaches, everyone's really thrilled to be able to do that. And the venues that are available for these state championships, from the fall sports through the spring sports, is really incredible.
Well, and it's another great example of the partnership that the Minnesota State High School League has with the Minnesota Twins to be able to offer that incredible venue as a site for the championship series. What a thrill for a player to be able to play in that venue, to be able to walk up to the batter's box and see your headshot up on the jumbo scoreboard. And it's all a part of the great experience. And we were in a meeting this morning with the 8 participating teams in the 4 championship games, and they are absolutely thrilled. Their communities are excited to come to the Twin Cities and watch this this culmination of another great baseball season.
Yeah, and all the other venues that hosted quarterfinal and semifinal games. I was over at CHS Field in St. Paul Thursday afternoon and Thursday evening, and you know what a great ballpark CHS is, and to have access to that, and it's really incredible. And of course, Chaz has stepped up, and then 2 ballparks in the St. Cloud area hosting baseball this year.
Oh, for sure. And for the last handful of years, I've been the manager of the Class 3A site, which this year was at Chaska. And what a delight it is to, you know, there's so much history just dripping with history and tradition. And you talked about the passionate folks who are plugged into the community to make this just a great day. And on day one, I was your fun fact of the day, they grilled and sold 600 cheeseburgers for the fans that day and 700 hot dogs. So amazing. It was just an amazing event. And then on the flip side, Jordan at the mini-met just a few miles down Highway 169, another terrific, terrific venue with their famed pork burgers that they have. So anyway, just incredible experiences and that leave smiles on people's faces.
Well, Tim, always good to visit with you. Thanks for the update on lacrosse, and hopefully we'll see you at Target Field on Monday.
I look forward to it, Steve, and stay dry, everyone.
All right, Tim Layton from the Minnesota State High School League giving us an update. Weather impacting events, once again, state lacrosse. Girls championship game as scheduled at 2:30 at Eden Prairie. It'll be Prior Lake and Lakeville South. The boys game was scheduled at 6. They've moved that to Chaska at 2:30, and that'll be Lakeville North against Benilde St. Margaret's. So lacrosse titles will be handed out. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll have another update on the sports headlines. If you're just tuning in, Twins and A's postponed today due to heavy rain moving in this afternoon and thunderstorms tonight. They'll play a split doubleheader tomorrow. We'll have all the details coming up. By the way, all the news, all the weather at 2 here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. All the news, all the weather coming up at 2 o'clock on this Saturday. And we have rain on the way. Twins postponed, 67 now. Southeast winds at 12. And if you're out and about and curious on the radar picture, heavy rain just on the edge of the metro area. South, southwest, west metro. And it continues to kind of track right up the Minnesota River toward downtown Minneapolis, downtown St. Paul. And then behind that, widely scattered showers and thunderstorms and some heavy rain, maybe a half inch today, and then maybe another half inch up to an inch, and maybe more depending on where you're located. And then sunny, hot, humid on Father's Day. And there is an excessive heat watch in effect for tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow evening. And that's just for the 7 county metro area, just the heart of the metro area. For tomorrow on Father's Day. And if you're just joining us looking for the ball game, we will tell you today's game was rained out, postponed to tomorrow. And on Father's Day, we'll see a split doubleheader. Our coverage begins at noon. Derek Falvey, Chris Atterbury, inside Twins. Lineup card 12:30, first pitch 1:10. And then at 6, same deal. We'll come back with the lineup card. First pitch at 6:40, so a split doubleheader on Father's Day. Target Field not available on Monday due to 4 state championship games, even though the schedule has the Twins and the A's off, so they're going to hang around another day. But 4 state title games over at Target Field on Monday starting at 10 a.m. And then the Rays come to town Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and a Thursday matinee. Twins roared back for a big win last night. And We've got a cool interview coming up following the news at 2, and our friends with the Minnesota Twins and Andrew Halverson. Dan Gladden sat down with one of the all-time great closers in Twins history, Joe Nathan, and they had a chat. Joe was in town, sat down with Dan Gladden. We'll have that for you. They're going to play a part of it tomorrow on the pregame show on Father's Day, but they gave us the whole interview to play following the news and weather here at 2 o'clock. And then my good friend Kevin Lynch will join us. We'll talk NBA Finals. Yes, the Finals continue. Dallas won Game 4. Celtics lead 3-1. They had home trying to close it out. Kevin Lynch will join us to talk hoops. Maybe a little tennis as well. Kev loves tennis. Of course, he was a big star at Bloomington Jefferson, went on to the University of Minnesota, played in the NBA, played in Europe for a long time, and now part of the Bally Sports North team covering the Timberwolves. And Kevin Lynch will join us at 2:35 today. And then Tech Talk fans, Doug is back today. Tech Talk with Doug Swinhart between 3 and 4 o'clock. So we'll certainly keep you company here on this Saturday afternoon. Josh Wheeler is our producer alongside. And the U.S. Open, the leaders still haven't teed off at the U.S. Open. As a matter of fact, the final group of the day will tee off at 2:35 our time at Pinehurst number 2 in the Sand Hills of North Carolina. And a Swede, Lucas Olberg, is your leader at 5 under par. It's warm, it's sunny in North Carolina. Bryson DeChambeau, Thomas Dettry, Patrick Cantlay, all at -4. They won't hit the course here for another 30 minutes or so. Rory McIlroy teeing off at 2:13 our time with Tony Finau. Hideki Matsuyama getting ready to tee it up. He's at -2 all alone there. And then a large group at -1. Colin Morikawa had the round of the day so far, a 4 under 66. He is now done for the day at even par, and he may have moved into contention. Even might still be in it. Xander Schauffele's in a group at even. He is at 1 over. He bogeyed his first hole of the day today. World number 1 Scotty Scheffler didn't do much today at 1 over 71. He is at +6 and out of contention. He barely made it to the weekend. We'll have the news, another update on the weather here on a Saturday at News Talk 830 WCCO.